Your Bibles now to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Then we want to look at verses 1 through 5 this evening. Let us hear the word of God from James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Thus far in the reading of the Word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask of Thee this night that Thou wouldst open our hearts and minds to receive Thy Word, to be attentive in the hearing of it. We pray that even as we have read hard things from Thy Word, so also we may yield the good fruit of Thy Spirit, and that we may confess our great need of hearing the instruction of Thy Word. We pray that we may have our hearts opened, that we may attend unto the things that are revealed in the Scriptures this night. Undertake, Lord, for the edification of Thy church and our growth in grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, we have before us a very difficult subject. Even as I was preparing for this message, I'm surprised that I myself showed up to preach this message. It's difficult. It's not easy to talk about the sins of the tongue. It's easy, very easy, to see the sins of others, to hear where others err with their tongues. And even there, we often become partakers in a way of other men's sins by not reproving what other people say and just listening rather than endeavoring to improve the speech of others. And so James has been, we've already looked at some of those accusations that he makes against us regarding the sins of the tongue. And we want to look, Lord willing, next week at the idea that it's just difficult to tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. And yet we all live with it. And it is the fruit of original sin, isn't it? We end up saying things that we shouldn't have. We end up saying things that we feel sorry for. People have likened this to, you know, trying to put toothpaste back into a tube. It's easy to get it out, but it's not so easy to put it back in. And sometimes the tongue can do things, say things that we realize are not profitable, they're not beneficial, they're not even intended for blessing. Sometimes we say the right thing, we say them in bitterness or in anger, and the tongue so easily gets us into so much trouble. So James brings this warning to us regarding the tongue, and he starts his admonition in rather a strange way. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." And so who is he talking to? And this is the question that comes up regarding this passage that there's considerable disagreement about, and some considerable agreement as well. But who are the masters? Who is James saying, don't be going into the ministry. We don't need more pastors. We don't need more teachers of the word. Well, that wouldn't make sense, would it? In terms of what the Lord Jesus tells us. Paul tells Timothy, this is a true saying. If any man desire the office of a bishop or an elder, he desireth a good work. He says it's a good thing to want to go into the ministry. We have a young man in our presbytery who is pursuing the terms of licensure, and where he's being examined, and his desire to go into the ministry is a good thing, and it is good. The Lord Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. He told us to implore him as the Lord of the harvest. We need laborers. The fields are white unto harvest. There are many souls that need to be saved. Send forth laborers. We need men to preach the gospel. We need faithful men to stand in pulpits and to call sinners to repentance. And Jesus himself in the Great Commission said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So the Lord has set up pastors and elders and deacons to serve in the church. So far from saying that we shouldn't have many teachers, he's saying, don't all of you want to be teachers? The context here is the tongue. So the command is that he's already given in James 1 verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We've already looked at that verse. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So for the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So to guard your tongue is the most difficult thing. And there's be quick to hear. The Lord gave you two ears and only one tongue. And we ought to use our ears more diligently. In James 1 verse 26, he said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So he has the outward actings of religion. He seems to be an upstanding and religious person, but his tongue gives him away. And it's a terrible thing to hear a man profess godliness but not speak in terms that are consistent with his testimony. So we are to bridle our tongues, says James. But he's also talked about this idea of tongues in the second chapter. If we look at verses 14 and 18 of chapter 2, he's talked about those, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? In verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So he's saying that a man has already abused his tongue, has not used his tongue wisely by talking about a faith. These men, it seems, have actually boasted that I have faith and I refuse to do good works. I have faith. My faith is so strong that I don't need to show it to anybody. My faith is so strong that it stands all by itself. And it's just me and Jesus. We've got a good thing going. And that's really all that I need. And James says, no. No. If you have faith, it's necessarily going to show. It's going to show in the way you live, and the things that you do, the things that you don't do, the things that you can't do, and the things that you can do. It's going to be apparent, because you're going to actively be showing goodness to those around you. It's going to come from a cup that overflows with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, with a knowledge of how sweet the Lord Jesus is and how wonderful it is to know Him. It's going to be evident. And so as we hear people often say, there's no such thing as a secret Christian. We don't have secret Christians. And part of that is that the Holy Spirit indwelling a person, how can that person not somehow show the good things that are within him? And it's going to appear differently in different people, but there's going to be an evidence that you are no longer your own, that you've been bought with a price. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the abuse of the tongue. Somebody says, I have faith, I don't need to show works. And they're actually making that the point of their profession, of their faith. And James says, no, and as a matter of fact, I'll prove to you that I have faith by the fact that I do good works. And so here he says that my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So he's introducing this idea of the tongue, of the way in which we talk to others, and especially the way that we talk about the gospel. So there are the teachers, not those that are called to teach, although they are called to be careful as well. They're called to handle the Word of God accurately, precisely, and yet not with such precision that it's not really preaching of the Word, but just reading a manuscript. Some people are able to read manuscripts, and some people I've seen can do it very, very well. But there's a preaching of the Word that involves the whole body, the whole man. And that's very necessary in the ministry as well. So when that happens, it's important that you pray for those who minister the Word of life. Pray for your pastor. I appreciate that. The pastors prayed for on Wednesday nights, particularly for those the very things, because it's so easy to just go off on a trail and start talking about things that don't even relate to the message. We call them rabbit trails, or things that are unnecessary, things that may inflame, things that are not wise. All of those things can happen. And what happens when you realize that, you tend to just shrink back and you just say, I want to read everything from now on. But there's a dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And it's a remarkable evidence of the grace of the Lord's people, even that they forbear in that manner with their pastor. And when I first came here, it's all been almost 30 years since the beginning of my ministry here. December 1st will be 30 years. And when I came here, it was in the midst of a great deal of controversy. And I won't go into all the details, but there were just lots of arguing and disagreements. And it was a difficult time. And coming fresh out of seminary, it was my great desire to be very precise in the language that I used, because a lot of the people that were causing the trouble would hang on every word I said. You know, you could take one little sentence or a phrase and take it out of context or twist it and make accusations. There's just a lot of that was not at all comfortable. And so my preaching at the beginning of my ministry was very wooden. It was very trying to be very precise and accurate and theologically correct. And the Lord's people just weren't blessed. It was not a good thing until I released myself from that and realized that not every word had to be exactly right, that there was the expression of the heart that the Lord gives in the preaching of the word. It's good to have focus and design in the preaching, but preaching involves the whole man, what the Lord feeds the preacher with. And so once that liberty came, there was a greater blessing from the Lord. There was more joy in the labors rather than marking every jot and tittle. The jots and tittles come in the Word of God, and there's a little more breadth than in the preaching of God's Word. At the same time, I think what James is addressing here as well is the fact that we'll give an account for every word that we speak, every idle word that we speak. And so the words have to be carefully brought before the Lord's people. It's a great burden of the pastoral calling. And that's at least one good area for you to pray for your pastor and those who occupy the pulpit here. So there are the teachers. Be not many masters. Well, what does he mean then? Well, that's where the talkers in my title, you have teachers and you have talkers. And there are people who desire then to be in the place of the pastor. I haven't heard this term for a while, but years ago anyway, people would talk about armchair quarterbacks. You know what an armchair quarterback is? Somebody who sits back and watches the game in his living room and has all the answers. And the coach should have pulled that guy and should have put in the other guy. He should have done this and he should have done that. And it's great calling the shots from your living room, right? You're not there at field level. There's a lot of things you don't see. There's a lot of snap decisions you have to make, and there's a lot of fans that are not particularly sympathetic with the coach. We do that often even in our discussion of politics. We assume that it's very easy to govern a country. It's not particularly easy. As Christians, by the way, we need to be aware of sinfulness and the degradation of our society, often through the passing of evil laws. We need to be aware. We can't pretend we're living in a fairyland. We need to know and reprove the sins of our nation. But at the same time, we have to recognize not easy to run a country, not easy to even run a business, even a small business. But often we're able to just tell others how it's done. Well, James is talking about that kind of idea in the church. You know, that there are people who would rather preach than listen to the Word of God. And I know it's not always a wonderful thing to listen to the same voice or the same approach week by week. And again, the grace of the Lord's people to pray for me and for the ministry of the Word. Even Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book Preaching and Preacher, said, I wouldn't cross the street to hear myself preach, he said. Everything that he did was a blessing of the Lord. So there are those who are constantly thinking about how the message could have been better, how other examples could have been brought in, how other proof texts could have been brought in, how things could have been improved rather than just sitting and receiving the Word of God. Beloved, that is a reflection of the desire of the heart to have the Lord's people come and assemble and sit before the preacher with expectant hearts and to say, bring my soul something good from God. Bring me comfort for my soul that's been struggling with sin all week long. Bring me joy because I've been grieved having to work with the enemies of Christ all week, with their abusive language, with their sinful attitudes, with their evil temptations. I've been surrounded by them. And I need to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that I myself am sinful. I myself need to have my sins brought before me and to repent of them. So there's an expectation as the Lord's people come together. What is it? We're not just dealing with information in the preaching of the Word. We're dealing with the matters of life and death. We're dealing with the matters of the soul. And the pastor is to be a minister to souls. So there can be a nitpicking in the sermon, which, as I mentioned earlier, I have experienced. And there are many that give the greater condemnation because the sermon sometimes hit closer to the mark than what they were comfortable with. They heard about the preacher. They said, preacher, you got to start preaching against sin. You're kind of skirting the issue. Preach against sin. And so he started getting into some of the things that were that he saw that needed to be addressed in the congregation. And pretty soon there were those that came to him and said, well, now you've gone from preaching, you've crossed over to meddling. Now you're not preaching, now you're meddling. And the preacher is supposed to meddle, isn't he? He's supposed to hit the mark. It's not the preacher. His words are to be direct, but it's the Holy Spirit, isn't it, that hits the mark, that applies the Word, that brings it home to where it needs to be so that you will be a holy people. So these people then become masters by their own appointment, by their own designation. Now that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He hasn't got a clue. And this is what he should have done, and this is the way he should have approached it. So with the tongue then, they begin to sin by making themselves masters. And the Lord is saying here that you are going to be condemned as well if you're going to condemn those who are called to the ministry. They're not perfect. And they have a great work that needs your prayerful support. And also sometimes may need your reproof. Sometimes it may need, the preaching of the Word may need correction. There's a process that the Lord has placed for that. And it's not that the preacher is a pope to set up as a master in that way. We only have one master. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be many masters. So Solomon provides some helpful advice. Proverbs 21, verse 23, Solomon says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." And that's so true. We talked about this earlier in James 1 about how much we can keep ourselves from sin by just not saying something from time to time. In Proverbs 10, verse 19, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." So as the more you speak, the more chance there is for you to sin. And the multitude of words, their wanteth or their lacketh not sin. So there is a need to just be blessed by the word and to receive admonition, to receive blessing, to receive exhortation from God Himself through the preaching of the word. So there are the teachers, be not many masters, and then there are the talkers, and then there are what I've called tags. Tags are illustrations. The only word I can think of that's like illustration, to keep with my alliteration, tags, illustrations. The first one is bits in the horse's mouth. James says, think about that. Just a tiny little piece of metal that goes into this huge horse. And I looked this up. Horses are around 1,000, sometimes 2,000 pounds, but average around 1,000 pounds, half a ton. And here's a guy, 150 pounds, gets on this horse. He can control that great horse with just a bit. He can make it start and stop. And if he takes that bit out and rides that horse, he may end up in the ditch. He may end up by the side of the road in great trouble. So there is the control that this little bit has over a huge, powerful horse. He looks at the example of the rudders on ships. So here's this huge ocean liner. And again, you look up some of these pictures of these massive ocean liners, and the rudder is not in proportion necessarily to the ocean liner. A small ship and a large ship, their rudder size is not necessarily greatly different. You have this little piece of metal then that moves this magnificent ship, and the captain makes it go wherever it wants. You think of the cruise liners. I don't know if you've ever been in ports where they have these cruise liners, and they dock these things right very, very precisely. They can use these rudders to maneuver them. And a tongue that's not controlled can shipwreck a man, can lead to great destruction. And so from that, he draws that lesson. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. So it just a very tiny part of your body, but oh, how it can speak, how it can brag, how it can boast. So I remember when I was a little boy and thought that I could talk pretty tough to some of the bullies in our neighborhood, and I found out that if you don't know how to fight, you better not talk tough. There's something that goes with tough talk, and your tongue can get you in a mess of trouble. So it was a while back since I learned that lesson, but I did learn it. And often we can talk really big, and we can talk really tough. And I think, again, as the minister of the gospel, sometimes we can make great assertions to a handful of people in the congregation that we might have more difficulty making if we were out in public. The word of God stands, the truth of the word stands, but we need to be mindful of how that word is expressed, and it needs to be accurate. And we may not be able to withstand every accuser, but we stand fast on the truth of God's word. If God has said it, we may not always be able to answer everyone that comes at us with an accusation. I've seen some very spiritual, godly men who have just been in a place where they've not been able to answer. They've just been at a loss for words, and that happens as well. But our confidence, beloved, is in God's word. And that, again, is why the congregation assembles to say, in effect, to the preacher, bring us God's truth. Bring us the glories of our Savior. Show us the greatness of our God. Show us, as sinners, how much we need the mercy and the grace of God. Show us the things that we need to know. And so the tongue, a little member, can be used for great good, but it can also be boast great things and bring trouble. So what is the treatment then for this idea of the tongue? This idea of wanting to say more than we should and being able to control the tongue. We need to have that control and be mindful that we ought not to say everything that comes to our head. And where does that arise from? Does it just arise out of the foolishness of my heart? Or is this something that comes from above? Is this something that can be traced back to God's Word? Can I use God's Word even as I'm speaking to minister to others? Can I bring wise counsel to bear in a situation that comes from God's Word, not just from my own ideas? Sometimes we can teach from our own experience, and even that we ought to be able to bring and trace back to principles from God's Word, the instruction of God's Word. And so there's to be a striving for maturity. He says in verse 2, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. He's not talking about entire sanctification. He's not talking about the perfect Christian life, but the word perfect there is the word mature. If any man offend not in word, the same is a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. And aren't there people like that? People who can bring a good word in due season. People around whom you know that you're going to be blessed and encouraged. That they delight themselves in things that are important. And things that often older people that can bring out of the wealth of their experience and their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Good things to encourage you in your walk with the Lord as well. Beloved, we ought all to aspire to be that in our own connections, in our own relations. That as we admire that in others, that is the goal of that maturity. How can I use the things that I've learned from God's Word to bless others around me? And this happens. It happens in our home. My wife will bring the scriptures to bear in a certain situation. It's encouraging to have a godly home in that way, to bring blessing and encouragement and delight to one another, and to reprove one another when those things are necessary as well. So striving for maturity, the wise application of God's word to my heart and my life, and through my tongue, that I'm not given to that. Well, the tongue no man can tame, so what's the use? No, I want to strive to be mature and use my tongue to bless others. The first step to that would be admitting to God that you have a problem. That it's not easy for me to speak wisely as I ought to speak. And so the psalmist, David, in Psalm 141, verse 3, prays, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. So what do you have to be thinking in order to pray that prayer to Jehovah? So David understood that he had that difficulty of not being able to speak wisely. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. I don't do so well guarding my mouth. Lord, you set a watch. You set a guard. Keep the door of my lips. I open that door and so often things go out that should not go out. Keep the door of my lips. Can you pray that? And say, Lord, I need to be wise with my tongue. Need to be wise with my lips. Psalm 39, verse 1, here's the resolve of the psalmist. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I'm not going to say everything that I have while the wicked is before me. I'm going to speak with wisdom and with humility as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to pray that prayer, to acknowledge and admit that I can't say everything, and I get myself in trouble when I say everything that I think of saying, but to use my tongue wisely, to speak good things, to speak it, to use my tongue for blessing others, for praising the Lord Jesus Christ, for reproof. There are times when we're to reprove one another. Now, that's part of the Christian life. It's part of our growth in grace, part even of the whole idea of church discipline, which we don't want to move to unnecessarily, but you start by having to reprove a brother or a sister in the Lord and showing your care for their souls in that way, and pray that it will be received. So these are good things. There are places for, there is a place for reproof and using our tongue for those things, and a place for blessing as well, and encouragement in the faith, and a place certainly for praising the Lord Jesus Christ. And how delightful was our Savior, who always spoke wisely, always spoke graciously, often spoke very harshly, often spoke against the sins of the people, very directly, very bluntly, and always with good effect as he intended, and yet always in a loving and compassionate way that showed forth that he was the Son of God. Has the Lord spoken to you, beloved? Has he spoken peace to your soul? What a wonderful thing it is to receive peace from the Lord our God. Let us glory in that, and may the Lord guard our mouth. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we confess that our lips have not always spoken wisely. We pray, Lord, that we would be delivered from offending, particularly one another. We pray that we may desire peace for one another, that we may be wise and gracious and loving in the way that we speak to one another, and also in the way that we speak to the world. We pray that thou wouldst fill us with thy word and make us diligent students of thy word, that we may more wisely speak concerning the needs of others. Lord, wilt thou forgive us our sin and our iniquity, and wilt thou fill us with the good things of thy word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.